We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody. Hey, welcome back. It is December 1st. That means that we are in the thick of it for college hoops right now. And this is Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winter Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. Gabe, it's been a month of Sundays, it seems.
Yes.
Since we have broken down some college hoops, but so much has happened in the last couple of weeks, which has been crazy. Where do you want to start? Because we can go in a lot of different directions.
So it's
with
also,
all the upsets and all of the situationships.
It's also high school basketball season, which is like the big reason why we've struggled to find time. But now we're gonna find some time. Today's gonna be a little short, but we're gonna get back into it now. We just have so much exciting stuff going on, especially on Christy's end. I'm more concerned with just like the various high schools around us that we're playing. I just can constantly think about the high schools in the area. But Christy has exciting stuff. I don't know if you want to talk about it here. Announce, tell people what's going on.
I will just for like, I'll take 10 seconds or 20 seconds because this is an abbreviated edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe. But I will say that I want to give a huge shout out of respect for the opportunity to be the new director for Virginia Elite Girls Basketball. And if you know me at all, you wouldn't ask me, do I miss coaching? Because you just wouldn't ask me that. Because you would just, no. Okay. But for those of you who don't know, I love the game. Obviously, the tactical side of it is very intriguing for me, the mental gymnastics of it all. However, to be able to be a director and to influence the culture, I was at a, what was it called, Dealmakers event yesterday in DC with a lot of billionaires and all this stuff. So it's just like, I've been incredibly motivated even more so than I already was, just hearing what it takes to be successful. I don't care what it is, if it's a team or whatever, individual, I don't know, like whatever success means for you. Is what I want it to mean for these girls. So I'm just electrified, thrilled, beyond grateful for the opportunity to impact the lives of these young girls who are going to be hooping. So there'll be some tactical parts of it, but it'll be mostly cultural and let them know like the blueprint to success for them. And it's going to be different for each one, but whatever they gravitate to, I want that to be what drives them daily. When they wake up, I want it to be on their mind. When they go to sleep, I want it to be on their mind. And I want them to be goal-oriented, goal-getters. I want them to be fired up about success. And for me, the one quote that I'll end this whole soliloquy with is, I heard this quote yesterday, and someone said, culture is strategy, eats strategy for lunch. Culture eats strategy for lunch. And so you can have all the strategy you want, But if you don't have the right mindset, the right culture ingrained in your mind and in your heart, you're not going to make it. So I just, I'm going to pass that along on here and everywhere else, because I just thought that was very strong.
Well, as one of the people that knows you and knows how much you miss coaching, I was very excited to see that you're going to be a part of, you know, these young girls' basketball journeys. I think it's going to be great for them. It's going to be great for you. And I'm excited to be around. It's a great basketball program here in Northern Virginia, turning out a lot of good talent, including some kids that we know around here that are pretty good, that are okay, that got some talent. But speaking of culture, I think that's where we should start.
Let's go.
I think we should get right into it and talk about South Carolina, because here we are again. I mean, you know, I think there's so much talent in this program, and there's been so much talent in this program, that you can kind of lose the fact of just the culture that's been built. You know, this is now being handed down. Mm-hmm. And this is what you hear from players that are in great programs, right? You know, whether it's football, whether it's baseball, anything, any good college program, you have the seniors passing it down to the freshmen, and then the freshmen bringing that up through the years. And you're seeing that now with South Carolina. I mean, now you have, they do have a transfer, a big transfer in Tina Paupau, who we could talk more about, but Cardoso, Raven Johnson, the foundations have been there with Aaliyah Boston, with the freshies from last year. And they soaked all that in, and now they're putting it back out. Got off to a great start this season, and they're looking the part of the same team we've seen for the past, let's say, 3-5 years, maybe, and just at the top of college basketball. And this is after losing, you know, the best or one of the best players in the country in Aaliyah Boston, and the WNBA Rookie of the Year, along with a bunch of other great players. So it's just amazing to see how well they started off this season.
Well, culture starts at the top, right? And Dawn Staley is that, right? She's at the top. And for her to have two titles already, collegiately as a head coach, and all of the gold medals along the way, and to run the gamut as a collegiate player at UVA and go to several Final Fours, but then to put the cherry on top of all of that by winning gold medals and titles in at South Carolina on the collegiate level. So I just have to, you know, tip my hat, as I always do, for Dawn Staley in terms of what she's teaching these young women. And it goes back to what I just said about how it's more than the tactical side of things. However, the tactical side is very sound. Let's not skip over that and just think
it works well,
you know, roses and rainbows out here. No, it's definitely a cultural situation at South Carolina when it comes to expectations. And I heard one of Dawn's comments after the game, and you know, one of her highly talented freshmen. Well, I don't know if I should call her name or not, but I think everyone knows.
She said it in the press conference. I don't think it's any reason we can't talk about it.
Okay. Well, go ahead and bust it out, Gabe.
Michaela Fulwiley, right? She didn't get that many. How many minutes did she play in this last game?
I think it was less than 15.
And I kind of think I know the reason, but go ahead. Say what you're going to say. She played 3 minutes in the last game against North Carolina.
Oh, three. Wow. Okay. Listen. Yeah. She said, if you're not playing well, then you have to come out and let somebody else play well. And I was like, well, shoot.
Preach.
That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. And kids aren't going to like that. But guess what? I bet the next game they play, she's going to play out of her mind, because she's motivated by that bench. And I'm telling you, and you can say what you want to say, and like, oh, that's mean, or oh, that's, you know, mentally, that's tough on the kid. Listen, what's tough on the coach is having the expectations laid out and them not being met. And it's not that they haven't met them before. It's just that day they're not up to par for what the team needs from them. So there has to be accountability.
You know what's tough mentally? Losing.
Thank you.
Losing is tough mentally.
That,
why are we going to lose?
That part.
Well, and so here, so she didn't play. And I'm going to tell you, I think the reason why is turnovers. She's a freshman in college. She's going to turn the ball over a ton.
Yeah.
It's a really tight game. We can get into this North Carolina game.
Yeah.
Super tight game. Tense environment.
Mm-hmm.
Very tense environment. And the only, like, really what North Carolina was getting was all in transition. I'll look at the numbers to make sure. But, like, when I was watching in the second half, there was a lot more transition possessions for North Carolina. That's how they got a lot of their points. So you can't give up turnovers. And there's just there's a lesson in that for a player. And it's not, it really isn't, I don't think, Dawn trying to send a message.
No.
It's Dawn trying to win a basketball
game. Win. Yeah.
You know, it's not about the message. Hey, maybe it does send the message of, hey, don't turn the ball over. Take better care of it, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But the point is to win. And I think it was the right decision because obviously they pulled it out and their guard play was amazing.
Agreed. And I think, you know, you say what you want to say. And whoever is saying something against that move has never coached. That's what I'm going to say.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to consider the source on the comments that are not for that move. And for me, having coached and you're coaching, you understand that sometimes you have to make those tough decisions. And it may not be. You might look at that kid and that kid is like sulking or pouty or whatever. But the team, after you make that move, is progressing towards a win. So you got to go big picture. As a coach, you got to go big picture. And Dawn did it the right way and got the dub. And that was a tough win. I mean, Carolina's in the top 25. What are they, 18? I believe they were 18.
Yeah, they were 18.
Yeah.
It
was a solid squad.
It was a really tense win, too. Like, it didn't feel like, and this is actually a good point about South Carolina I want to bring up. Like, I feel like in the past, it kind of felt like a steamroller. Like, it was just like a matter of time before they get going and then they run you over. I didn't feel like that in this game. I think, I think North Carolina was able to hang with them. And North Carolina is super physical.
They
are. Don't get me wrong. But if you look at the Elite Eight game from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'll say, right?
Yeah.
That was Aaliyah Boston, Cardoso just steamrolling North Carolina because of their size. In this game, North Carolina was able to stick around because it's a very different South Carolina squad. So it is going to be different. I don't think it's going to be so much of a, this team's just so dominant. I wouldn't be surprised if they drop maybe a couple SEC games, but they certainly seem like a team that can be in the national championship conversation, can get back to the Final Four, all of those things. And I think because they're adjusting to their talent. You know, so they have Aaliyah Boston for 4 years.
Yes.
She's amazing. You build the offense around. You build everything around.
Everything. I was going to say defense, too.
Everything's built around Aaliyah Boston. You have a bunch of other great players, but it's all built around the best. And now in this season, you know, I think one of the thoughts I had coming in was like, I don't think you can do that with Camila Cardoso. Because she's not a great player. Just not the type of...
For sure.
Not the same talent and not the same sort of offensive skill set. So now you have to sit here and say, okay, how do we change? Well, they're changing by taking and making more threes. They just have better three-point shooters. They are more willing to go outside in and get threes rather than inside out. But then they still have that inside presence. So it's not like a huge jump in the percentage of their shots coming from three this year. It's more so just a tiny tick up in the field goal, like the number that they're taking.
Right. Yeah.
And then a big jump in the percentage.
Right.
They're being more efficient from three and they're still getting in the paint. And they just have, I mean, like, you know, it's must be nice that you can sit there and say, we're not going to play someone like Malaysia Full Wiley, right? That's also a testament to their talent. So
absolutely.
I think we're right back kind of where we were with South Carolina. Maybe not as dominant, but still one of, if not the best team in the country.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, and I agree with that. Like, if you can afford to take someone like that off the floor and still win, that's a lot. But that does speak to, again, the accountability piece and the culture. But when you were talking about Aaliyah Boston, obviously not being there and graduating, being the Rookie of the Year in the WNBA and an A-plus analyst, by the way. Mm-hmm. Salute. But with that, you know, teams that or opponents that played against South Carolina when they had Aaliyah Boston, the scheme on defense was different. Now everyone has to come in a different way, right? So the opponents are going to play you differently because there is no Aaliyah Boston out there. So now South Carolina has seen the nuances of that, and they've been able to make the proper adjustments, whether that's personnel wise, whether that's schematically or attitudinally, whatever. Yeah. I just think it's interesting to see that as well, right? So it's not just what Aaliyah Boston brought to the team offensively and defensively. It's what other teams brought to them because of Aaliyah Boston that has also changed this year in her absence. So I think it's very intriguing to look at it all the way through and delve into that a little bit and see what those exact changes are that teams are doing against South Carolina that are different because of Boston's absence.
Yeah, I mean, I think off the top of my head, I would say you don't need like 8 players in the paint. You don't need all of them. You probably still need 2 because of Cardoso, but you could take at least 1 other person out. I mean, when it was last season, it felt like you needed 3 in the paint at the very
easy.
Place.
Got it up the line.
Someone who could guard the dribble drive from the pinch post.
Yeah,
it was like that's another problem. So now you're gonna need a 4th person. So it was like you're using your whole defense just to keep them out of the paint.
Yes,
and they still could get in. So this year, I would say that's probably the only thing that jumps to the top of my head. Is you don't have to quite pack the paint as much. But
right.
It seems like it doesn't seem like there's a lot more pick and roll stuff. It just seems like they're cutting a little bit more. They're not getting quite as much off the offensive glass, which makes sense.
Right.
Their 4, right, is usually Chloe Kitts. I call her Chloe C.
I love Chloe. And she was with that the Elite 24 2 years ago.
Oh yeah.
In Chicago. And Raven was down there this year helping coach and everything like that. So it's like I love seeing them perform the way they're performing, you know, after seeing them as players and coaches in the summer and stuff. It's really cool.
I call her Khaleesi because of the blonde hair.
You call her what?
Khaleesi from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
She got the hair.
She does.
I can't be the first person who's called you that.
No.
She's more of a shooter. More of a perimeter-oriented threat. I don't want to say she's like a
lanky,
more
though.
Better perimeter threat than the League of Boston. Cause that's
right. I mean, she's pretty shifty inside, you know, and she's lanky. And she has the ability to finish in there. You know, she has counter moves inside a little bit. So she's a little, you know, she's a little slinky in there with her game. But, I think the balance is definitely different. Like what you were talking about, the threes and the high volume of threes that are being taken and made this season by them, I think is a different dynamic, definitely a different dynamic for them. Tongue twister. But yeah, I'm excited to see once the conference season begins, which is going to be right around the corner. I know that game against North Carolina was the SEC ACC challenge, which had been
the ACC Big Ten.
But I love the matchups.
It's really fun.
Fun. Yeah. And Notre Dame, how about them coming back from 16? I mean, these games are, you know, much needed. And I wish more of them were on TV over the Thanksgiving break because there were some blockbuster matchups that, you know, if you didn't stream it, you weren't going to see it. And I'm like, oh, man, we gotta fix that.
Flow Hoops. We need to end the reign of terror Flow Hoops. No offense to anybody at
no
Flow
offense
Hoops, but I'm just saying we're beyond the capabilities of Flow Hoops. Regardless, South Carolina, good basketball team. Oh wait, no, I want to say one. Tahina Pau-Pau, because she's out of her mind at the moment. So 14 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists against a steal, also a great celly. You've probably seen it on Twitter. When she hit the like game ceiling three, and then
I love it. You know, I love that. I was like, get it, girl.
She like celebrated with a teammate, and then she waited for, I don't know who it was. I don't know what guard it was. Came by from North Carolina, and she goes, three? I was like, yeah, that's cool.
She's fired up, man. She's a fireball. She's a competitive spirit that they needed, right? They needed that extra.
So they lose Zaya Cook, right? And I think Zaya is that type of player, right? Fire, intensity.
Yeah, yeah.
So, hey, Tahina's not as shifty. She's not quite as good at getting to the rim necessarily. Mm-hmm. Well, not quite as good as finishing in the mid-range. Getting to her shot in the mid-range, Zaya's better. But Tahina right now, shoot the cover off the ball. I mean, it doesn't quite matter what else she's doing. She's taking 5.6 threes a game. She's taking 53.6% of them.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
I can't. I should have looked this up beforehand, but I can't. I can't remember. You're not shooting 50%
on
6 threes a game.
No. No.
She needs to take more.
Yeah.
This is the point, right? If you're shooting above 45% from 3, you need to take more threes.
Take them.
You need to take more threes.
Take them if you're making them. That's what I say.
I just wanted to shout her out because I thought, you know, her performance is great. The numbers are amazing. And she just brings a different dynamic, but the same sort of attitude. Going back to that culture piece, fits into the culture.
Yes.
Maybe didn't fit into the last system, but fits into this system. And that's what a great coach does. So good on Dawn. Great
stuff. Absolutely. Early. You love to see it. And she's hooping. And, you know, just keep that train rolling. Keep going.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let's go to a slightly more dramatic SEC team. I can't. I mean, I know you guys don't know who we're talking about at the moment.
Who could we possibly be?
Who could have? Let's talk about the LSU Tigers. I guess the bedazzled like jackets maybe just bring about more drama. Or maybe it's a function of playing in a Kim Mulkey system. But there was drama. Obviously, I think everyone again here has heard about it. Angel Reese missed 4 games, about 2 weeks. She was away from the team for personal reasons, I guess, was the official cause. And then the other last night after Angel Reese came back against Virginia Tech, played great. We'll talk about that. Mulkey said it was locker room issues. Angel said she needed to reset and refocus. I don't know.
I was waiting to see what else you were going to say, man.
I'm all right.
People no keep asking
to,
me.
No, absolutely no shade to Eddie. Oh, and Kateri Poole is not on the team anymore. That's just like a
Can we talk about that part? Where's Kateri? What happened, man? And I know. I mean, it's not uncommon for people to wonder what is happening, right? And to be in the profession of being a question asker and for that to be part of your due diligence as a professional in your craft, right, to ask the pertinent questions and not just show up to the game and just look over there as a fan and say, oh, Kateri's not there, and jump ball and move ahead.
They,
like,
in fairness, they have been asking Mulkey about
any
and everything. She's not answering.
That's what I'm saying. But like, why isn't there an answer coming for that? And I understand protecting your players, and we coach. So I would protect my players to the nth degree, trust and believe. But, and not that we need to know every single screaming detail. But I just think it's fair. You know, it's fair as a coach to protect your kids, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also fair as a media member to ask questions. So where's there the middle line where answer that suffices what is necessary to complete the job of a media member?
So,
I don't know.
Here's my thing.
At me if you want to, but that's just how I feel, period.
Here's my thing, and like maybe I don't know. I'm not like I don't do like the journalism. Most of that I talk about the trades, but that's not my. I don't do a whole journalism thing. But Here's what I'll say.
But I care about Kateri. Like,
what, I care about Kateri.
Okay?
Too.
Like,
but also, like, in life, and I've said this before on here, you're mm-hmm. only as good as your options.
Mm-hmm.
So your for Moki here, her options are don't say anything. And what are the repercussions? There's zero repercussions for her not to do that because she just won a national championship. No, she's not going to get in trouble with the school. She's rich. She's not going to get So it's like, as a journalist, I think you're sitting there saying, well, I can continue asking this question, continue making her mad. Or I could just kind of wait and hope that something comes out from a different source later that I can get to. So I understand from the journalist's perspective, and I also understand from Mulkey's perspective, because, like, hey, you can't force me to say, like, this is not a congressional hearing. I did not take an oath.
No.
If I was Kim Mulkey's lawyer, she would have done exactly what she did.
Maybe, and you would have said that was right? You would have said that was good?
Well, a little less sass. But I would say, you know, if you could be a little nicer about it, that'd be great. But, you know, I can't knock Mulkey's whatever, her whole thing. But yeah. I don't want to say anything. If I don't have to say anything, I'm not going to. Because then it is a personal issue. If it's like, whatever happened in the locker room, whether it's between Kateri and Angel, or whether it was just those two, or whether it's those two together, whatever happened, we don't know.
I get it.
I would try to say as little as possible in a nicer kind way.
Nicer so. Manner.
If you're nice about it, people are gonna. They may still continue to ask you, but then you say, "No, I'm good."
No problem. Wow, change the subject. Get that too, and I have not been in that position to have a situation like that happen. Thank goodness. However, having known Kateri Poole when she was a student athlete at Ohio State, right? I mean, is she good? Like, is she okay? Where is she? As a human, we're not even talking basketball. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, is she, as a young person who is just on your team, who is no longer on the team, is she okay? Right. And if you can't, like, what if someone posed the question to her that way and she said, I'm not answering that either. I wouldn't like that. I don't know. Yeah. Like, because I have a previous, like, interaction with Kateri.
Yeah.
And I actually care about who she is.
Hopefully someone, like, has her number.
Who they are.
Someone should text Kateri.
Say it again.
Someone should text Kateri and see what she's up to.
But I just hope Kateri's good. That's all. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's unfortunate that she's not on the team anymore.
And they don't win the national championship last year without her.
No. So, I mean, I hope Kateri's good. At the end of the day, like, whether Kim speaks on it or not, My whole thing is, I hope she's good. And I know she's probably devastated not being on the team.
Yeah.
I know Kateri, man. She's built like, I mean, she's like, she's got fire in there, man. She's,
God. Well, the fire.
A little too much.
We don't know what happened.
We don't know what happened.
You ever see on Chappelle's Show, When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong?
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a definite When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong situation that happened at some point between any of the parties in the group. Regardless, we could leave the drama for a moment here and just talk about the basketball, because it turns out LSU's pretty good still.
Pretty good.
I should have mentioned this earlier. I forgot about our bracketology that Megan Gower put together.
Oh yeah.
Maybe I'll stick a thing in the beginning of this also to talk about it, because she did a really good job of getting together all the teams, and it's a whole field. So LSU is a 4 seed in the Portland 2 region, which is UCLA's region. So still really a good basketball team. Actually, I think they should probably end up being higher than 4. They're still 7 in the country. And they just beat Virginia Tech 82-64.
Yeah, that's a big win.
Big W.
Yeah.
They held the best offense in the ACC to a 94.2 offensive rating, which is bad. Elizabeth Kitley fouled out, and that was pretty much all Angel Reese. I'm pretty sure she actually drew all 5 of those fouls.
Yeah.
Because she drew 8 fouls overall in this game, had 19 points, 9 rebounds, 6 of them on the offensive glass.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, one of those games from her that we've seen before, kind of saw in last year's Final Four. where she just kind of, you know, just wears you down with the fouls, the offensive rebounds, that paint presence. And yep. then, you know, Mikayla Williams, the freshman for LSU, had 20 points, mostly right. from mid-range. 7 of 9 from mid-range. Seven shots out of the mid-range.
Difference maker. Yeah. And Anissa Morrow. And Anissa Morrow, I mean, I don't know what her stats were in the Virginia Tech game, but in one of those games where Angel was out, didn't she have 37?
Yes, she did.
Over the holiday break? Yeah.
I forget about her having 37.
Yeah. I mean, they have Morrow, Van Lith. I mean, I don't know. Like, Van Lith, I'm trying to...
Ooh, that Virginia game was super interesting, actually.
If you Virginia want. Tech?
It was Virginia. So
the Virginia game. Got
yeah, in Thanksgiving week they played Virginia. That's where Anise had the 37 points. But LSU struggled, and Virginia's good. Like, yeah. Virginia's a tough basketball team. That's yeah. a good. That's a good tough basketball team.
Hey, Maka.
they're taking on that attitude that I think she wants in Virginia. But LSU yeah. struggled a lot without Angel in that game.
Yeah.
And so they get to get it together here. Was huge, but I think Flage had like the game sealing offensive rebound that game. She had another like 5 offensive rebounds in this game. That dog in her.
Yeah, she's a monster, man. She's a monster. But I don't know. Like, what do you think of the their rhythm, chemistry, cadence, like with all the new pieces, and now with Angel back, like they probably needed those 4 games, right? To
yeah.
continue to develop that with the Angels' presence there. But what do you see moving forward for them?
They're behind the 8 ball for sure, right? I mean, like, they were behind the 8 ball coming into the season because of all the transfers yeah. and all that.
Yes.
And Angel, you know, clearly there was problems coming into the season if like, yeah. you're suspending some or whatever happened. Happened that second game or first game of the season in a game where you get, you know, not blown out, but, like, beat. Pretty bad by Colorado. Like they
have the 8.
And Colorado kind of is like a perfect matchup for LSU, but just like you clearly had problems coming into the season.
Right.
So they're definitely behind the 8 ball. I think that's Haley Van Lith hasn't popped much this
that's
season,
what I'm
I would
saying.
Say.
Like
she hasn't gotten into the rhythm yet. And I think she's trying to play a little that's a different role for her too.
It is.
I think Angel, you know. She when you play with her now, it's really different for Morrow because she loves to post up, she loves to get in the paint, and it's like mm-hmm. you're not really playing. That's a different role for you too. And the only person that's in kind of like just a perfect role is Mikayla Williams because all she has to do is get offensive rebounds and put up from the mid range. You know, attack a close up, pull up from the mid range. That's why she's having such an efficient season, even with all the ups and downs. Like she's been able to keep steady. So, I don't know. I mean, I think Flage is keeping them in it, too. They've got dogs in them. They'll be there at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're... I mean, they're you know, it's a... We're not that surprised that all of this happened, I would say, as a community.
It's I don't like the, you know... I guess that, you know, that text back and forth situation with the moms. You know, I'm glad we didn't have that when I was playing, and not that my mom would have engaged, just saying anything like that at all. However, if she did, that would be so crazy, like chemistry wise, to come back and know that, you know, had happened and it blew up on Twitter, like mm-hmm. with all the memes and all the stuff and da 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 da. You can kind of do without all that. I don't know. Like,
hey, look, winning is great.
Yeah.
Because if you win, no one's going to say.
It minimizes the social media.
Winning cures whatever ails the team.
Yeah.
You can win. Not for everyone. People are going to be upset, but overall the team will survive.
You're right. I was just surprised by that, man. I will say.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that.
Let's talk. I gotta get going to practice soon.
Oh, got you.
We got to talk about one more person. We got to talk about one more person because... She's just been so special this year.
Jordan
Watkins of USC, the other USC in the women's basketball world,
yeah.
Southern Cal. I got a couple stats here. A couple of them I stole. One of them I found. She has 4 30-point games this season. More than any freshman in USC history.
Insane.
It's December 1st, and she has more 30-point games than Cheryl Miller did as a freshman.
Come on.
She is third in Division One with 26.8 points per game. This is what I found this one. All using the Her Hoop Stats research
function. Her Hoop Stats research. Hey.
So she has, all right, 26.8 points per game, third in Division One. She has 3.2 assists per game, 90th percentile in Division One. 7.5 rebounds, 94th percentile. 2.3 steals, 97th percentile. 1.3 blocks, 96th percentile.
Dang. Okay.
Only five players. Excuse me.
See, got you all reclamped and everything over
there. I'm talking so much as a head coach. My voice is.
This is a gaudy stat line, man.
All right, so only five players have done that. 90th percentile
right. In
all of those stats, only five players have done it in the Power Six.
Yeah.
You got Ariel Powers
at
Michigan State.
What's up, AP?
Bridget Carleton at Iowa State. Two tremendous college players who are pretty good in the WNBA.
Yeah.
Desiree Elmore at Seton. I forgot what year that was, actually. I should have got the year. And then two pretty good ones. You got Jordan Horston
and
Ryan Howard.
Wow.
So if she finishes up like this, and there's no sense that it's going to stop because she looks kind of unstoppable.
Yeah.
We're talking an elite category.
Yeah. Upper echelon.
And then, I just want to mention her last game against Penn State. So Penn State comes back in the Baja Mar tournament.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not true. No, this is their second to last game. They had a game after this.
But in
their Thanksgiving tournament, Penn State goes on a 14-0 run to take the lead at the end of the game. USC had been leading for a span there. And then Penn State comes back 14-0 run. With, I think, 3 minutes left,
mm-hmm.
Juju goes on a 7-0 run, ends the game, wins it for USC.
That's insane. What'd you say?
She's a freshman.
She's a freshman. She's a freshman. What do all the hype squads and all the stuff say? I mean, she's a freshman. And the thing about it is, we knew who she was coming in, right? But sometimes it takes a couple games or maybe a month or two, right, for freshmen to seamlessly transition into the more physical collegiate level game, right? But for her, there's been no gap or disjointed transition for her into college basketball. And not only that, she's made the seamless transition, but she's been dependent upon to be the organizer of the mm-hmm. offense, right? She's a dog in the defensive end. She attacks the glass with relentless ambition. She's just insane, like across the board. So it's not just she's putting up these points. I'm like, no, she's putting up like across the board, like these stable stats that are more of a senior than of a freshman. And the dependability of a kid like that, right? To lead you and to put the ball in her hands in situations like that as a freshman. I mean, that's your
trust. It was like the whole team knew exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Find her, like get her the ball. Can you imagine being a senior and in crunch time, like looking for a freshman to get the ball to?
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to win, going back to what we were saying about South Carolina, if you want to win, you know mm-hmm. what to do in those moments. that's fine. The hooper, right?
Yep.
Find the one that has ice in their veins is going to come and make plays for you, whether it be offensive or defensive plays, mm-hmm. right? Get the stops, whether it's a initiating offensive possession where they're setting up with passes
mm-hmm.
or somewhere you can get your own hoop. And I just think she's just she just loves the game. You could tell. She's passionate about it. And
well, I think what's interesting,
scary too, to think the upside
that's what I was about to say is like, so I think like the athletic part is the part that is there. Like she is so athletically gifted that's what she's using.
Yeah.
She's just, and we saw this a little bit with Mikayla Fulwiley too.
Yeah.
Just like, this is a grander scale, for Juju. It's just, she's like, mm-hmm. able to just get the ball off the rim, and then she's out running people.
Gone.
And it's kind of like, there is a little bit of Ryan Howard. When I saw it, when I had that little stat that had Ryan Howard in it, I was like, this is a little bit like Ryan Howard, just that smooth athlete that gets the court. And just like, her legs are so long that it's kind of like she's, it's like a gazelle running. It's like very pop, pop. And so I think that athletic part is there. The part that's not quite there is her knowledge of the game. And the stuff that she is going to definitely get better at. The right. stuff that she's definitely going to get better at is the stuff where she needs to be. And, like, that's a little scary. That's
yeah.
a little scary to think about 4 years down, 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road
yeah.
At USC when she's playing like this. And she's just.
That's insane.
She's got but every tool, every single tool.
She does. And I think even with, you know, the basketball IQ side, I mean, she's a baby when you think about it age-wise. Physically gifted, like you said, but the basketball IQ, I mean, you have to give grace to her for being a freshman. With that, but like with every other freshman in the country, right? Even, I mean, there's so many freshmen. We should do a whole thing on just the freshmen because there are so many who have come in game ready and then game winner ready. Mm-hmm. Like they're hitting game winners, making game, big game plays, momentum changing plays. And they're freshmen. So, the bright side of that is, you know, there's this hunger to learn, right? If you're Juju and all the other freshmen too, but it's just so much fun to pour into kids like that, right? Because they're accepting it. They're not asking questions as to why what you're saying isn't going to work. They are taking in the information. They are registering it, you know, mentally, and then they're applying it and executing it.
Yeah.
And so as the year progresses, I think it's just going to get better. And her understanding of not only the game plan, but of her teammates too.
Absolutely. No doubt. No,
that's going to be fun to watch.
It's just going to keep going up and like, it's exciting, man. I'm stoked to see it. Let's give it a few more games. They're one seed in the, the bracketology.
Dang.
Actually, it's three. UCLA, so South Carolina and then three Pac-12 schools.
Yeah. UCLA.
The Pac-12. We got Stanford, UCLA.
Stanford. UCLA. Yeah. God, man. Wow. But what was the stat with, I know we have to go, but like with Juju and Lisa Leslie, what was the, she surpassed Lisa Leslie with something.
I think there
was
it might like have a, been that stat, the 30.
That you point, just had.
Yeah,
okay.
30.1.
Because there was like a whole graphic on that, but I didn't know.
I saw the.
Yeah.
I got that from that one from somewhere. I didn't do the research for that.
Ah, I feel you.
I got two more things. We got to go in like now. All right.
Okay, come on.
One, Miami. Beats Mississippi State, baby. Let's go. 74-68. First road win versus a ranked opponent since 2016.
Go, Katie
Meyer got the girls rolling.
Go, Katie. Yeah, and they did it with defense in that game. Listen, they locked it down, and that was a major deal because listen, Ole Miss isn't going anywhere. I mean, the SEC, they're going to be battling through that conference, and they're ready for it.
No, so. it's a good basketball team, Mississippi State, and then I think Miami. I'm not gonna get too excited because we haven't played that many people, but it looks good.
But
I did struggle with some lesser opponents, but I think it whatever. We don't have to get too far into Miami. Just congrats on the road ranked win. Go Canes. Georgetown.
Hey,
another one of our teams on this podcast. 6-1 for the first time since 2010, 2011. Do you know what happened in that season?
But that was Sweet 16.
That's when they went to the Sweet 16.
That was Monica McNutt's team, I believe.
Oh, really?
And Sugar Rogers.
I was trying to put two and two together. I was like, they have to have someone. Okay, so that's Monica and Sugar. Wow.
And Sugar. Yeah, that was that squad, honey. Yeah. Sweet 16 made that run.
And then and then our favorite player on Georgetown, Bree Scott, 6.1 rebounds per game, third on team, 86th percentile in the country. But we look at the minutes. Look at her at on the 40-minute scale, which is, you know, the best way to look at these things.
Yeah.
12.5 rebounds per 40 minutes, 94th percentile in D1. Let's go.
Wow. Let's go, I have to tell her that. Yeah, oh, look at you combing all through with the five.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Snap that out. And go, Bree.
Look, and you know, it's coming together.
I think.
And after, you know, everything that happened to that team, And losing Tasha, it's just amazing to see what they're doing. Shouts to Coach Smalls, our former colleague, current colleague here at Her Hoop Stats, who's over there working for Georgetown's basketball team, and they're doing.
I love it.
They're doing really great work, so I'm very happy that it's coming out in the win-loss record.
They are, and you know what? That Tasha Tough is what they end every huddle with, Gabe, to this moment, and. There's still so much reverence for the impact that she made in her short time there with the Hoyas. So, I'm not going to say more than that because I would take myself somewhere I don't want to be.
We'll talk more Georgetown.
Oh, it's tough.
When we're ready and have tissues.
Yes. And I'll be calling the game on Sunday when they're at Northwestern. So, buckle in for that one.
Up.
strap up on that one. 4 o'clock on Big Ten Network on Sunday in Chicago. That'll be fun.
All right, Chrissy, I need to go to practice.
Thanks. You got to go to practice.
I got
to
go.
You don't have to go home. You got to go to practice. We got to get up out of here. But this has been a fun one, a quick one, but a fun one for Courtside with Chrissy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoops Stats Podcast Network. We're going to bring you more hoops. You know that. Mm-hmm. So come back next time and join us right here for my guy, Gabe Ibrahim, who has to get right out of the door. I'm Chrissy Winter Scott. We'll see you guys next time.